As we start in, I want to read from Psalm 89. Just ask you to close your eyes and just allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to your hearts. I know we're going to spend some time praying and contending for things that are on the Lord's heart, but as I just walked back into my office 15, 20 minutes before we started, just had this strong sense of the Lord just wanting to bring us back into this place of a single-minded heart and a single-minded mind. And just seeing some of the storms around us that can pull our eyes off of Jesus and onto other things and actually keep us from the very promises and the things that the Lord has for us in this season. Not because he doesn't desire for us to walk in the fullness of his promises, but there's a faith aspect where we're to set our eyes upon him and the position of unbelief, that position of unbelief is actually trusting in something other than Jesus. When you set your heart or your mind on something else, and that becomes your trust, whether it's finances or whatever it is, it will take you off course from his plans and his purposes. And so Psalm 89 says this, says, I will sing of the Lord, of the Lord's great love forever. And with my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever and that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one, and I have sworn of David my servant, and I will establish your line forever, and I will make your throne firm through all generations, which is to today. It includes today. And we are of his generation. We're of his lineage. We're under the blood of Jesus, so that he would make, says, your throne firm through all generations. So the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too, to the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. The Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. And then it says this in the next verse. It says, you rule over the surging sea, and when its waves mount up, you still them. And we saw that. We see that with Jesus. But I believe this was a prophetic word for the church. That when these surging waves come up, when the waves begin to topple, even the boat that we're in, whatever we're in, when they mount up, we have the ability to still the waves. And Jesus says, follow me. He says, do as I've done. And then it's this, so this story in Luke 8 says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And I think sometimes, even when we're walking with Jesus, we think, well, there can't be any storms when we're walking with Jesus. When we're spending time with him, when we're in his presence, there's no storms. But that's actually false. That's not true. Jesus actually brought the disciples in the boat with him into the storm. And it says, so they got into the boat, they set out, and they sailed, and Jesus falls asleep. And then the squall comes on the lake, and it says so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. And so the disciples went and they woke Jesus up and they said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. This is Psalm 89:9. He gets up and he does the very thing that we're called to do. And he rebukes the storm. He rebukes the wind and the raging waters. And it says, and the storm subsided and all was calm. And then he asked the disciples, where is your faith? And I don't think it's a matter of if they had faith or not, but where was it? Who did they have their eyes on? Was their faith in Jesus, who can calm the storm? Or was it in the storm itself? And when the faith is in the storm or not the storm, when it's in the weather conditions, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So it's, where is our faith? Where is our trust? Where is our belief? Where are our eyes? Are we single-minded or double-minded? Because often we can say, well, we love Jesus, but our mind and our eyes are on the storm and not on him. And in that place where our eyes are on him, we walk in a place of authority to take authority over the storms that are at hand. And we begin to see the way he sees, to where we don't even need to calm the storms. He didn't calm the storm for him. He was asleep in the middle of the storm. he was at complete rest in the middle of the storm. He calmed the storm for the disciples who had their eyes on the storm and not on him. So Lord, I pray right now, just as we go into this time of prayer, I just felt like the Lord said, we have to be single-minded. Set your eyes and your heart upon the Lord. Even in this, I walk in and there's a little pamphlet sitting right up there, right behind you, Andrew. And it was that, those that are pure in heart, it's Matthew 5:8. It says, those that are pure in heart, they shall see God. And the purity, that pure in heart is a single-minded position of our eyes on Jesus and not the double-mindedness. It says in James, it says that when you're double-minded, you'll be tossed and turned by the waves. Tossed to and fro by the waves. So he's looking for those to be single-minded and not double-minded. Another scripture that came to mind is Matthew 6. And I hadn't seen it like this, but it says this. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are good, it says, the whole body will be full of light. But that word good actually means single. The word is actually single there. So when your eyes are single, when there's a single-minded, when you're not looking over here and looking over there, it says the whole body will be full of light. When your eyes are on Jesus, the whole body will be full of light. And then just right after that, it says no one can serve two masters. You can't have one eye looking over here and one over here. You can't look back and forth in that double-mindedness without being tossed and turned. You cannot serve two masters. So Lord, I thank you that tonight there's going to be a shift. Oh, the other verse was just, we were in it on Tuesday. I think it's Proverbs 4. It says, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. And I see that in the same way of, if you don't guard the heart, what happens is it says in Matthew 13, it talks about the heart is like the soil, and God plants his seed. He plants the word that he speaks or the word of God into you. And that's what we stand upon, his word. We take hold of his words, which are truth. But if you don't guard the heart, what happens is it says it talks about these the weeds that grow up in the soil. And the weeds are the things of your heart that actually it's when you're not guarding your heart. It's not when you're not tending to your heart, tending to the soil of your heart. And it says that it allows the cares and the worries of this world to come up. It allows the desire for the riches and the pleasures of this world, where we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and we've focused them and we've put our faith, our trust, on these other things. And it creates fear, it creates worry, it creates concern. It's a temporary joy that is taken away as soon as circumstances change. And it says that those weeds, those very things, it says it chokes out the fruitfulness of life. Lord, I know you call us to be fruitful. You call us to bear fruit, much fruit. So, Lord, I ask that we would be single-minded today, that you would take us back into that place where our eyes are fully on you. They're not on the storms. They're not on the circumstances. They're not on the things around us. They're on you and on you alone, that we hear your voice. We hear the voice of the shepherd who is speaking to us. But often he's the one speaking in the still, quiet voice. He's not blaringly loud. He's the one who's whispering in our ear. This is the way, walk in it. It's not the loud voices around us telling us what to do. That's not the voice of the Lord. He's the still, quiet voice. So there's those times where in the midst of the storm, we have to quiet ourselves. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to hear your voice. Jesus, I want my eyes upon you. No matter what is around me, no matter what is I'm facing, no matter what storms are ahead, no matter how high the waves get, I'm gonna stay in that place of rest and of peace. Not because of me, but because of you, Jesus. It's in the dwelling place. Thank you that you're our refuge. You're our strong tower. You're the one who protects us and guides us, and you lead us. So we say, lead us by your Spirit. May we be single-minded. May we have our eyes upon you and on you alone. Lord, I thank you that you're going to raise up a church that moves by your Spirit with such faith that storms will not deter us, storms will not take us off track, but we trust in you. We trust in an amazing God. We trust in one whose love endures forever. We trust in one who is faithful to all generations. We trust in one who is faithful in heaven itself. We trust in one who has given us a covenant. We trust in one who is to be feared above all else. Lord, surround us with your love that casts out all fear. Set a protection around your people, Lord. Give us your peace, which guards our heart and our mind. Set us on a hill. Set us in that place, Lord, and strengthen us by your Spirit. May we be a church that is single-minded, that does the work of the Lord, that walks radically in obedience to your ways. And I thank you for a new strength. I thank you for a new authority to calm storms when storms come, and even a greater authority to sleep in the midst of the storms. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God in whom I trust. Thank you, Jesus.
Lead me. I want to be single-minded. I want to be holy. Lead me, oh, lead me. I want to be single-minded, wholly devoted. Lead me. devote. Lead me, oh, lead me. I want to be single-minded, wholly devoted. Lead me, oh, lead me. I want to be single-minded, wholly devoted. Lead me, oh,
say keep it vertical, so which means you're not talking to the people, you're talking to Jesus, and we're coming into an agreement with you.
Read a scripture that goes right along with what Mike was saying. And then I'm going to read another scripture, and I'm going to see where the Lord goes with it. It says in Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like shunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in a barren wilderness and an uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, whose roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they will never stop producing fruit. Psalm 103, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. He forgives me of all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to those who are treated unfairly. I'm going to skip a few verses, but the whole thing is great. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let that all that I am praise the Lord. So, Father, we come together. We thank you that we are those who are called by your name. We are called by your name. You have given us a new name. You have given us a new identity in Christ. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for what the church has been given. We have been given, we have been planted by streams of living water. We will never worry when drought comes. We will never be afraid when the heat is shining down on us. We will ever be fruitful. And so in the name of Jesus, let all of creation respond. Let all of the church respond. Come to the table, everyone who calls on the name of Jesus. Come to the table. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every denomination, for every division to be mended, for every creed to come under one banner, for every tribe to be called by the name of Jesus, to come together as one. Come, Lord Jesus, raise up your warriors. Raise up your banner over every church that calls your name, every pastor. We speak as we did a couple of weeks ago over those who are weary, all the pastors and leaders who are weary. We call for the shaking off of weariness in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for waking your church. Set a fire in their bones. Let what the psalmist wrote, what David wrote so many years ago, burn in our bones. Worship the Lord, all you creation. Worship the Lord, for he is worthy. There is no one like our God. There is no one who is worthy. So, Father, come. Have your reward, Jesus. Have your church as your reward. Come, Lord Jesus. Let the bride of Christ arise. Let the bride of Christ throw off the ashes and rise in new garments of praise. Come, Holy Spirit, and awaken your church. Awaken your bride with the light of Christ shining within us. In Jesus' name.
Oh, come to the table, all who are hungry. Come to the fountain, all who are thirsty. Come to the table, all who are hungry. Come to the fountain, all who are thirsty. Come and eat, come and drink of the bread of life, the water of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life, the water of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life, the water of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life, the water of life. Come to the table, all who are hungry. Come to the fountain, all who are thirsty. Come to the table, all who are hungry. Come to come and eat, come and drink of the bread of life, the waters of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life, the waters of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life, the waters of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life, the waters. Come to the table, all who are thirsty. Come to the table, all who are hungry. Come to the fountain, all who are waters of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life. The waters of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life. The waters of life. Eat, come and drink of the bread of life. The waters of life. Come to the table, all who are hungry. Come to the fountain, all who are thirsty.
Father, I thank you. I pray that you would root us and ground us in your love. Root us and ground us in your love, God, that we would not be moved. We would be immovable, God. I thank you that Ephesians 6 says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. God, I pray that you'd make the church strong, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Strong in the Lord and the power of your might, God. Strengthen your bride. Strengthen your church, God, that we would be immovable. God, that we would not be even moved or even flinch at what we see in the natural, God. Because we know our God. We know the word. And we are not even moved. We just have strategy for prayer. Those things just give us fuel to pray. Pray here. Pray there. But we are not moved. Thank you, Father. Having done all to stand, we will stand. Strengthen the bride in her innermost being tonight, God, your bride throughout the earth, God. As things shake, everything that can be shaken will be shaken and is shaking right now, God. But we are not moved. We are the immovable bride, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our bridegroom. Our bridegroom that makes us strong. We long for you. We look for you. We thank you, Lord. We look to you, Jesus, our bridegroom. Thank you, Jesus. We wait for you. We look to you. We are preparing ourselves and getting ready. People get ready. People get ready. We're getting ready. We are not moved. We refuse to be moved by what we see, God. We are rooted and grounded in the word. Thank you, Jesus. Strong, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Yeshua's name.
Dear God, give me the strength to not quit when everyone tells me to quit. Yes. And give me the strength to not turn to the bottle at every roadblock I hit.
Yes.
And let the detective and the district attorney believe my story that my son was conceived through rape. Let me go to trial and speak in front of a jury. Let them believe me and save my son. Give me the strength to do that with you. Give me the faith in you.
Hallelujah.
Because I haven't had it. Amen.
I'll just piggyback on that. God, I thank you for deliverance. Thank you, God, that you did it for me and you're not a respecter of persons. Lord, I thank you for deliverance from drugs and alcohol. God, I thank you for the loved ones that we've been pouring prayers out over, Lord, that the bowls would be tipped, that we would see the harvest of our prayers, Lord. All of the seeds and tears sown that you bottled them up, Lord, just pour them out. God, let there be a revival. Let the bars be empty, God. There's no need of it when we have you, Lord. So we just thank you, God, that you fill every empty piece of us. And it's not just drugs and alcohol, but TV or food or whatever the addiction is, God. Just let us lay it down, Lord. God, I thank you that there is power in the blood of Jesus, and we just plead the blood of Jesus over our loved ones, Lord. Anyone that has turned away from you, Lord, we call them back. God, we thank you that we will see the day of their salvation. God, we thank you that there will not be a delay or obstacle, Lord. We just come in agreement. Every principality that has any pull over this territory when it comes to addiction, Lord, we just bind it up right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over it. God, we say that you are good. You are our deliverer, and you're going to deliver our loved ones, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that are coming forward. Thank you, Lord, that the hearts and eyes and ears that are being awakened to you, God, that there would be new wine of the Holy Spirit poured out over these people, that they would be firebrands pulled out of the fire, Lord, that they would start holy fires where they are, God. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Father, you brought me to Ecclesiastes 3 over and over to show me that there are always going to be mountains and valleys in our lives, and that through those times, not just in the dark times do we cling on you, but in those happy moments, even if it's just a glimpse, even when we feel like every day we're going backwards, Father, hold us in those moments and show us the way. Father, you say that there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Father, what stood out was a time to keep silence. There are moments when our emotions come to play. And there is power. There's in the tongue. There's life and death is in the power of the tongue, Father. And we let our emotions take words. We let the devil use those emotions to use words to create things in our reality, consciously or unconsciously, Father. And I'm here to just speak with this key, to give a key to all, Father, to just say that we need to slow down. We need to stay in the moment, every moment, and we need to stand in our power and oneness with you, Father, that we may hear the words that you want to come out of our mouths and think the thoughts that you want us to think, because everything that we speak and everything we focus on will come to light in our lives, Father. When we focus on the storm, it may be that we still see that storm, Father. So in that storm, help us to see the light. And you taught me to say that when I'm mad, to say, Father, thank you for happiness. When I have fear, to say, Father, thank you for peace, even though I'm not feeling it in the moment, Father. So help us to just switch that thing in our minds. Even though we want to say or think things of in our frustration and our anger, put that guard over our mouth. Filter our mouths, Father. Switch the mind off and go to our heart space, which is where you reside. Help Help us to lean into you, Father, and to become the word so that we are speaking the word. We are speaking life. We are speaking the living word. And to ourselves especially, Father. And Father, I just ask that you remove the attacks on marriages right now. Every attack on a marriage is aimed at the children, because the devil is trying to take your inheritance, Father, which is the children. So please protect the children who are in homes that are in the fight, in the fire. And I rebuke all demonic in the homes, all the demonic in the mouths, all the demonic from the anger. And shut it down and rebuke it to the pit right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, and I ask that you step in with love. Love always wins. No matter what we go through, no matter what everybody in the world tries to tell us to do, it's going to be your final word. Whether it's what we want, it doesn't matter what we want, it's what you want. We must die to ourselves, Father. Help us die to ourselves and our wants and our cares and our needs, for you have everything before we even think we need it. So help us press into you. Help us to pray for our partner in that anger, not to lash out. Help us pray for those who annoy us or who trigger us in the day, instead of to want to think any bad thought over them. Father, they're all going through it. Everybody's going through it. The devil's trying to attack everyone at any nook and cranny that he can, Father. So I ask that you seal the cracks. I ask that you fill the cracks with your glory, with your presence, with your mercy, with your grace, with your unconditional agape love, and show us how to be, in Jesus' mighty name.
Father, thank you for blessing me with such a God-fearing bride. Thank you for allowing me to be at one with the Word of God, Father, Lord, and to read your instructions, Father, Lord, to become one with the words and to be at peace and knowledge with the knowledge and the revelation that comes with reading the Bible. Thank you for answering her prayers effectively and immediately, Father, Lord. Thank you for protecting her and pouring out your blessing over her mind, body, and spirit. Thank you for giving every man in this world an opportunity to lay themselves down to serve the bride and to treat their wives as the way that Jesus treated the church. Father, Lord, we're so grateful that you would allow the Holy Spirit to empower us with spiritual fruitfulness, such as love and patience, Father. And thank you for teaching us that love does no harm. Thank you for giving us everything that we have, Father, even our breath. And please forgive those that choose to use it for selfishness. Forgive those that choose to use their life to serve mammon and bring them back to you, Father, Lord. Everyone has an opportunity to come back to the Lord through Jesus. So thank you for giving us that opportunity, even though we don't deserve it, Father, Lord. You don't owe us anything, but you continue to bless us. You continue to give us everything that we could possibly need: food, clothing, shelter, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, freedom, justice, and equality. And we're so grateful that you would put your hand of God and blessing over the people who need it, people who are going through trials, people who are having trouble paying their bills, people who are hungry, people who have no home. Father, Lord, please reconcile them to the Lord and teach us to go out and teach the gospel so that we may go and be a light in a dark place. And thank you so much for allowing me to pray in front of people and read the Word of God. And I just want to read this verse for everybody because it's really nice. It's Matthew 6:19. Do not store up yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So, Father, thank you for this word, and thank you for your beautiful instructions. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.
Us so much. We just praise you. We thank you. And with that love that we feel and perceive from you, Lord, we thank you that you bring all things to good for those that love you and are called according to your purposes. We thank you that you take all of those things that are the worst things, Lord, and you cleanse us of them. You heal us from them. Yes. And you teach us what your love is. And Lord, we thank you that not only do you heal us, but Lord, you allow us to step into other people, other people's lives with your love, that they may be healed of the same affliction that we suffered from. There is no temptation that is not common unto mankind, Lord. We all go through it, and we just thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed us from it. But even more than mercy, Lord, we see grace. We see that we can work that you can work through us to help other people. And I just pray that you give each and every person the opportunity to experience healing through ministering to one another. I just thank you that your fruits are ripe for the picking. And not only is that mean for salvation, Lord, but that means exercising your gifts, just putting faith in you, stepping up, believing that things can come to pass, hearing your voice and say, we're going to do this together. And just give us the ability to do it. There is no spiritual gift that we can do on our own. Lord, you are the author and perfecter of all of them, but we ask that you would raise up an army of people who are proficient in the spiritual gifts. And we just thank you. We thank you for teaching about how to operate in spiritual gifts so that we all may step into it. We thank you that you are going to bring us all opportunities so that we can just see your hand and your grace work to do your will, and that we are not lost. And the world is not lost, Lord. It is just waiting for you, and we are found in you, Lord. So we just thank you for that you are opening the books of our destiny. You know the plans you have for us, and you are going to bring them forth. And that involves loving other people. And I just thank you for every opportunity we have to do that, for nothing is lost, Lord. Nothing is lost. Your destiny cannot be taken from us. And we just praise you that you are our sure foundation in Christ's name.
We just want to thank you for the work of the cross, and we pray that your church will wake up to the finished work of the cross. When you bled on the cross and died for us, that finished the work, and that finished work is your power and authority, and you have given your authority to your ecclesia on earth. And when Satan comes to steal, rob, and destroy, like in families, we have the authority to rebuke it in your name, Lord, by the authority of the cross, by the blood. And we just pray that people will wake up, that they are not helpless, that they are very strong when they are covered in the blood, and they can proclaim the darkness to leave. And as we do that, Lord, we are free. We are free. We are free. We hope, we pray that you will open our our eyes and our ears to the lies of Satan, and we will not believe them, Lord. That we will have come into our hearts, Lord, and give us the heart for the person standing in front of us. Give us the heart for the person that you brought in front of us, and let us allow you to work through us in whatever the spirits are needed, whether it's healing, whether it's a word for them, whether touch their hearts, Lord, through us. And may we just lay down our preconceptions, our thoughts. If you need a pastor, you speak through us and pastor them. If you need healing, you speak through us and we heal. And may we walk in this. May we walk in this. And may there be a multitude saved. And may the Shekinah glory just hover over our whole region, Lord. And one to another, it's just like the fires. Our hearts are full of fire. And one ignites the other. And we join together. And we are one in you, Lord. And nothing can break that. In Jesus' name.
It is finished, it is done, for you have poured out your spirit by the shedding of your blood. It is finished, it is done, for you have poured out your spirit by the shedding of your blood. It is finished, and it is done, for you have poured out your spirit.
Who was slain? Worthy is.
slain. Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus. As our sister was praying, I just heard that. Actually, as I was singing the chorus, I was remembering that verse where it says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Jesus Christ." And Lord, we just pray that tonight. We say, "Thanks be to God us in victory. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory. Thanks be to God who has given us Jesus Christ, who has triumphed over sin, has triumphed over sickness, has triumphed over death. We look to the captain. We look to the champion. We look to the King of every king and the Lord of every Lord. So we look to Him who possesses the seven spirits of God. We look to Him who is crowned with many crowns. Lord, as we look to You, we just say, lift our faith in Your power. Lift our faith in Your authority. Lift our faith. Lift our faith. Lift our faith. Lord, we just thank You that we are seated with You, even right now, on Your throne in heavenly places. Thank You that that is where we are going physically, but that is the authority You have given us now in the Spirit. We are seated with You in heavenly places. So Lord, when we battle against flesh and blood, we know we're not battling against that. We're battling against powers and principalities, and we look to the God who is over all. We look to the Almighty. We look to the Sovereign, the Omnipotent, the I Am who I am. So Lord, we repent of doubt. We repent of doubt because You have the victory. You are the champion. We repent and we look to the King of Kings. We look to the one who has it written on His thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We look to the one who has victory over Satan. He has victory over death. He has victory over hell. We look to the living one, and we just declare to Your church, fear not. Fear not. He is the living one. He has overcome. Fear not. Fear not. He is the living one. He has overcome. We speak to our own soul. We say, O soul, why so downcast within us? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in the Almighty. Put your hope in the highest of the highest kings. In Jesus' name. And we thank You, Jesus, that when You went low, Your Father rewarded You with the name above all names. That at Your name, knees will bow. At Your name, every tongue will swear allegiance. They will confess, You are our King. You are our Lord. So, Lord, we ask You in the midst of difficulty, we ask You for strength to go low, strength for humility, strength to be the servant of servants, strength to be the first servant in the room, strength to be the servant of all, knowing that as we humble ourselves under Your mighty hand, You will lift us up. So we ask You for that strength, Jesus, that only comes from You. Lord, infuse it into Your bride. Lord, pour it out into Your bride in this season. In Jesus' name. Thank You.
As we were worshiping tonight, the Lord brought me to Isaiah 63. I didn't really have an idea why until Marcus just prayed. And what it says is, who is this coming from Edom? Edom from Bozrah, with his garments stained crimson. Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, proclaiming victory, mighty to save. Why are your garments red like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress. I won't go on further. I think the first was the most relevant.
Father, we thank you that our victory is in you. Jesus, our victory is in your blood, that it's already won. In the midst of what we're walking through, Father, I just, for the last 2 months in my prayer time, the Lord keeps bringing to me, widen the tent stakes. And in Isaiah 54, it says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. And I feel like right now the Lord so wants us to pray, Father, prepare your church for what's coming. Father, let there be victory in our homes. Let us walk so great in love that our offenses are laid down, that our hurt feelings are laid down, that the us, the me, my, it's all laid down, God, and it's you. Our eyes are singly on you, Father, that we're flowing with you, that we're making room, Father, that we're making room for the ones that you're bringing, that we're making community for the people that you're bringing, that we're making a wide place for them to heal, because the people that are coming are the people that most of the church is afraid of. We are scared of the people that don't look like us, that have functioned in all kinds of things. And Father, you're bringing the broken. You're bringing the ones that have worshipped false gods. You're bringing the ones that are full of all kinds of hurt and all kinds of wounds. The ones that are unlovely, Father, you're going to love them like you love them. Let your church love them like you love them. Let us widen the tents. Let us prepare, God. Your churches throughout the city, your churches throughout the nation, Father, that they would be so laid down on their face in worship, in humility and awe of you, God, that you have so much room to work and so much room to move. Father, let there be victory in our homes, and let that victory then just resonate out into our communities all around us. Let us bring them in. In Jesus' name.
May fathers be restored to the head of the household, that they can cover the women and the children. Amen.
It's going to go just a couple minutes longer here, and then we'll wrap up.
So I'm going to read a scripture, but this is really more of a declaration. And I believe there is a response that we are obligated to have in the awe of the Lord. So I'm going to read this, and I don't know what, I think there's a song that we're supposed to sing, but I have no idea. So I'm going to read it. It is Colossians 1:15 through many verses. Okay. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything. In the heavenly realms and on the earth, he made the things we can see, the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything that was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So we, the body of Christ, come before you, Jesus. You are worthy. I think we all just need to stand and adore him. Adore him. He is worthy. He is supreme. He is worthy of everything. He's worthy of it all of our attention, all of our affection, I want you to raise your own song to speak blessing to the Lord. Speak your praise to Jesus. Let the song of your heart arise to Him. Let us sing a new song to the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our adoration and our affection. He is worthy of all of our attention. Come, Lord Jesus, you are worthy. Take your throne.
Till all I see is you.
Till all I see is you.
Eyes and your light would fill them until all they see is you. This is where all creation is going. You are the focal point. You are the preeminent one, the firstborn of all creation. Lord, we say, let your light fill our eyes, touch our hearts, enlighten and illuminate us till all we see is you. And Lord, we say, you are worthy of this in the earth. So Holy Spirit, have your way and open the eyes of people's hearts to the glory of Jesus Christ. Open our eyes even greater.
Yes.
Lord, you have greater things for us. Lord, we ask you for the greater works, the greater things that we have yet to experience. Lord, we ask you for greater encounters with Jesus that would just give us boldness, that would continue to put the gospel on our lips, and we would talk about this glorious man that we have come to love, have come to know as powerful and glorious. Lord, I even thank you for third heaven encounters. Lord, we just ask you for some dreams that you would just take us up and talk to us and show us things. Lord, we ask you for angelic visitation.
Yes.
Send forth angels.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine. He just woke up. An angel was sitting at the end of his bed talking to him. Just like, what? God, give that to your church. Give those gifts to your church.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.